This edition of Pro Wrestling Cast brought to you by our friends at Amazon. They have new deals daily. Check out Amazon's link on our page, ProWrestlingCast.com, and go ahead and start shopping. Support our website, support our podcast, and use our Amazon link there, ProWrestlingCast.com.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
I can't help that I'm the greatest wrestler alive today.
With your hosts, Al John and Steven.
Drink it in, man.
Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
The love that was given me, and this time I will repay you now, because I will be the next world's heavyweight champion of this hard time blues.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
And I am truly the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Pro Wrestling Cast.
Man, can you dig that, sucker?
Al John back here on Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly show dedicated to wrestling news and commentary, alongside my illustrious co-host. He is the man, the wrestling historian. Please welcome Stephen Anthony. Hello.
How's it going? I just wanted to let you know that I can, you know, if you want, you can say my real name.
Oh, Stephen Anthony?
Yeah, Stephen Berger.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Oh, did I tell you I have a new nickname or fake name?
Oh, okay. What is that?
Judge Reynolds.
Oh, Judge Reynolds.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess you
and
are.
And I'll be like, you're sentenced to life. You know, I'll do things like that.
You're a man of many gimmick names there,
yeah.
Stephen. Yeah. Once again, we appreciate you tuning into the program. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to our show on iTunes. As well as we've got it on Stitcher Radio and TuneIn as well. And people are looking at our YouTube channel going, what's going on with you guys on YouTube? Hey, we're doing straight up audio now, folks. And hopefully when I have a moment, I will be able to make the audio archive shows available on YouTube. But right now, it's strictly audio. And I hope you understand that YouTube is making it very difficult for creators to get any kind of traction, and we know that you love the audio show, so we're just going to just continue to support the audio portion of our programming. So that's the reason why that's been made. So we appreciate you tuning into the new shows. Hey, look, we have got an awesome show for you. We've got WWE TLC that is coming up. We're also going to talk about the Ring of Honor Global Wars show. Probably a little bit of some New Japan wrestling news and such. And we're also going to talk about our top five underutilized wrestling stables, or factions, if you will.
So
it's going to be a cool show. I hope you dig it. Let's go ahead and launch into This Week in Wrestling News.
Pro Wrestling Cast.
This Week in Wrestling News.
So, Steven,
yes.
This week, we've got more information as it pertains to several walkouts. I'll go ahead and mention this real quick. We kind of alluded to what had happened with Neville. It seems that Neville really did burn a bridge when he decided to walk out due to his character not getting decent creative, not getting decent pay, being left off the WrestleMania DVD, which really can help a WWE superstar really put money in his pocket for the remainder of the year.
Yeah, I know, and they got like 50 hours of DVD stuff.
It's ridiculous why they left the pre-show off the DVD. That's a huge payday. Now, I understand that Austin Aries did it the right way. He left due to those differences, and he actually tweeted this week, Austin Aries, that it's great that the bingo hall money is so good that I'm actually getting, you know, less dates and bigger paydays as a result. It's great to see wrestling thriving over the world, apparently. That's something that Austin Aries had tweeted. Right. And the problem is with Neville is, Neville had always, to me and to many wrestling journalists, would say that he was really a good soldier. You know, he did what needed to be done. He was happy to work. He was happy to do these storylines. And for him to be disrespected in that way, not being told in advance that he wasn't going to be part of the DVD, being disrespected in turn, in, you know, for his character and different things like that, he just went about it the wrong way. He walked out. And when you walk out of the company, you face the wrath of a very angry Vince McMahon, and when you do that, you're not quote unquote rehirable after that.
Was he labeled unrehirable?
I would think so. That's kind of what reports are saying. I don't want to put word in anybody's mouth, but I think some number one, number two wrestling pundits had said that, and it's something you just don't do. Now, well, according to WWE, he is still employed, so there has been no official notification about him being future endeavored, if you right. will.
But, if you will. I think they constantly are lying. I mean, that's something I know about them, too. You know, but they spin things how they have to, don't they?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
I think, Al John, this is... to me, this isn't so much disrespect. I think it ties in. We were talking about Nia Jax off the air.
Yeah, we will talk about her in a minute.
You know, I think this all comes from the inability for them to have any creative direction with any sort of linear approach. And I think it's frustrating the talent. And then I think they have such a roster, such a huge roster. You know, you even got a guy like Adam Cole. In NXT, you got a guy like Aleister Black, and then you got a guy like a Bobby Roode and a Nakamura on Smack. I mean, you got all kind of guys that you never had before. I don't think they can pay everybody what the fair share is, and I think that comes from it. It is disrespectful to not go on a DVD like that. I mean, come on. You can't throw that dumb little match on there?
I don't know what the inner workings are of the Fed, but I will tell you that it's disappointing. As a performer, to be on the card in some way associated with WrestleMania, not to be commemorated onto the DVD, is just, it's just not cool. It sucks, you know? I don't know, but I would feel very slighted if that was the case. If I was a curtain jerker match, the very beginning,
right.
and wasn't on the DVD, I'd be very upset about that. But let's move on. I mean, we'll obviously pay attention to these developments as it unfurls, but
Like more and more people are angry, though, with the company. That's the general sweeping consensus with these wrestlers.
So
it's not just Cody.
Here's the deal. Apparently, Neville had reached out to Cody Rhodes.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
The arch nemesis.
Yeah. So I know, right?
Is he really leading a real Bullet Club faction that really isn't a real feud with them?
I don't know. It's very interesting, but it seems to me...
How awesome is Cody?
A lot of other wrestling journalists are saying that Cody is being tapped on by other WWE talent who are unhappy with their creative about how to leave and what to do upon leaving. And how to try to get themselves over and where they can work and do different things, because Cody has now the business acumen, you know, outside of the WWE. He knows how to traverse the course of the independents and work with, you know, PWG and to work with ROH and New Japan and all these other companies that are doing really great business, you know. So kudos to them. But I maintain that if you're... The best way to do business is to always make sure you don't burn a bridge, because that will stunt you from getting further money and royalties down the road.
I think they're dancing with the devil, and then they want to back out. You know, this is another common theme. Cody was with the company. He felt disrespected in a very real way because of his incredible father and the way that they perhaps disrespected him and disrespected his family's name. Mm-hmm. And then bad news, Barrett had the same sort of feelings, and Damian Sandow left, and all this stuff is starting to slowly unravel. And I think that, you know, he's a great guy to talk to because Stardust was very much at the bottom of the card. It was kind of a, I always thought it was kind of a cute character. It's like, oh, haha, it's a homage to his brother almost, really.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Vince's classic bullying. Look, at Dusty Rhodes has two space alien sons. Ha, ha, ha. That sounds like his dumb crap. Because the fact of the matter is NWA used to be better than WWE in the 80s when he was, that's just the way it is if you look back at the tapes. But anyway, that's, I guess, a matter of perception. But I thought, well, this guy's not that good, whatever. So now, you know, I see him on Being the Elite. I see him cutting promos. The incredible Ring of Honor promo he cut on the pay-per-view the other day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God, this guy's amazing. I love this guy. And it's because he left and he did what he wanted. Even from the very beginning when he wrote his list out and he put it up on Twitter and he said, I'm going to fight Chris Hero and I'm going to fight Minoru Suzuki and, you know, and all that, which, by the way, was disappointing, but whatever. I think he's just a cool guy, and I think they want to get away from this company. I think the era of the corporation not having their checks and balances in order for the creative direction of a lot of these people. Like, take a guy like Sheamus. Now, there's a company guy, right? The, look, yeah, what they've done to this poor guy. He was the champion in 2015. Does anybody remember that? That goofy old Sheamus won the belt at, what was it, Survivor Series 2015?
Right.
When they had experiment number 97. Trying to get Roman Reigns over, you know, and that's
League of Nations. League of Nations.
Is that what they were called?
At the time, I believe that was on the heels of literally WWE with their superstar job squad not having anything for him, teaming together in order to help Roman Reigns get over. So every week, all four of them took turns, and that was after I think Sheamus had won the championship only to lose it to Roman Reigns, I believe.
Well, I had that on my top five overutilized factions.
Right.
With factions that should not have been utilized at all. Mm. That was a really short one. They didn't even have music, did they?
Yeah, they had music.
All right, I was just trying to
probably
be
using
mean.
Music at the beginning of the show. Just so,
oh,
just
don't do that, my God. The show is starting to go, what the hell is that?
Well, I tell you what, Cody Rhodes, it will actually be part of our programming. At the end of the program, we're going to have that promo that Cody cut, a scathing promo that had Internet Mark's ears burning as he cut it during Global War Chicago on the 15th. And it was a very cool promo. It was done in a very good way. Cody Rhodes very much over as a face or a heel, depending on who he's fighting. And Global Wars was a really cool show. I think we can go ahead and wrap up the thing about we mentioned about Nia Jax. And did we mention Nia Jax?
Well, we mentioned that Nia Jax was unhappy with her creative direction. It is sort of funny a rookie would be like, hey, my creative direction's off. Although her creative direction has been garbage.
Well, look, this rookie also has ties to the biggest sports entertainment superstar, The Rock, right? Being you know, the niece of The Rock. So
Well, he gets things done. Hey, I always said that on our little show here, Al John. Watch out, that's The Rock's cousin. Kind of whisper in the back, and look what happened. Leave of absence. They don't allow leave of absences to happen, but they will for her. Well, I'm going to leave for a little while because I'm pissed. Okay, do whatever you need to do, Rock's cousin.
Well, apparently, the same night that Neville walked out was the same night, quote-unquote, Nia Jax walked out.
Do you think they're dating?
It wasn't necessarily a walkout. I think she had probably gotten some advice and say, why don't you just ask for a leave of absence and get this out of your system? And, you know, basically, in terms of her booking, it was only a few weeks ago where she was booked as, maybe a couple months ago, where she was booked as almost a bodyguard type for Alexa Bliss. And right. then all of a sudden, she turns on her in order to get the title shot, puts her in the electric chair, slams her, and she's standing tall. My time is now. I'm going to take that title from you. And just in a few short episodes later, they're back to being friends again with no discussion of what's going on. And this all has to do with the introduction of Asuka returning to the ring. Who's going to take on Asuka? You know, initially it was supposed to be, I believe, Sasha Banks. Nia Jax was supposed to be in there somehow.
Right.
And then all of a sudden now we know that it's going to be the Emulation is going to be in there.
Oh my God.
Going to prove to be the sacrificial lamb for the Princess of Tomorrow. So when she makes her debut, Asuka makes her debut at TLC, it's going to be a bloodbath. And unfortunately, the cover girl is going to have her blood rolled all over the mat. Princess of Tomorrow steamrolls her. I'm sure we'll talk about it in our TLC rundown here in just a bit. But we will have Cody Rhodes as the promo of the week. And we'll have you set that up here in just a little bit. You know, it's funny. We're talking a little bit about WWE and NXT. You know something about Shawn Michaels coming back to NXT because of a... interesting booking that's going on. Do you have that story?
I think someone broke it on Wednesday night. Hint, hint. Shawn Michaels is going to be refereeing a match between, Drew Galloway and Adam Cole in San Antonio. And this guy lives in San Antonio. I forget his name. But he used to be pretty good.
The even smart, on drugs. Bright kid.
He's pretty much, you know, as good as a WWE wrestler gets. That's right. Pretty much what he does.
He's a showstopper. I'm not talking about Dolph Ziggler.
No, this particular person is the main event, the icon. And I think, and some have said, that perhaps it has something to do with the fact that Ring of Honor is actually running a show in San Antonio. So he's going to referee the title match. I like this because I'm a big Adam Cole fan. My wife has a little crush on Adam Cole.
Oh.
And no, she doesn't.
She does.
I think she does. She does.
I cannot.
You do have a crush on him.
No.
You know, that's why they killed his ass on the show.
Right.
He's dead now.
Hey, I'm with the Bullet Club.
Okay, so Terry is Bullet Club for life, just
She's
so
Bullet
everyone
Club for
knows.
Life. Okay, that's good.
Yeah, okay. That's an interesting comment.
Yeah, it's an interesting comment. Just,
I'm glad she was here to defend herself.
They can't say too sweet, but she can say too sweet.
One sweet.
One sweet, two sweet.
You know who she was? Aljon, I'm just going to bring it up because it is wrestling news. When I was watching the G1, Tanahashi jobbed to Zack Sabre early in the tournament, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed she was kind of upset. I'm like, oh, that's weird. She must be a big Tanahashi fan. Then he jobbed to Kota Ibushi. Now, all of this is Gato's booking to set up later matches over his Intercontinental title. So when she jobbed to Kota Ibushi, I could tell she was really upset. And then I realized it. This she has a fucking crush. I'm sorry, you have to bleep
that's
me.
That's all right.
On Tanahashi.
I do not.
And then when Tanahashi comes out with his ridiculous haircut that looks like garbage... Okay, she defends him. She says, no, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. It's growing out. He's taking pills to grow his hair long in time for the January show. She's thinking about his hair growth for the future. I mean, that's who, honestly, she has a crush on. I don't want to hear anything.
I don't. I just like that he spreads peace and love and energy. And
there you go. She said love and energy.
Well,
she
hey, you know, okay. you mentioned Tanahashi's hair, and yeah. I believe our Meltzer mentioned something about hair, and I'm like, hey, man, is he stealing our he's stealing our shtick?
Well, okay, look.
I think Meltzer, he's stealing our shtick.
I think you got to understand something. If anyone's a Tanahashi mark besides Terry or me, it's Meltzer, and he was very upset with his haircut. He said it made him look old. It looked too much like Kota Ibushi's haircut. It was in the middle, ugly face between long and short. And he was really upset. And, you know, sure enough, he had it. Tanahashi about 2 months ago had a match with Kota Ibushi. And I was all excited to see it. His haircut looked so bad. Aljon, I just stopped watching it. Who cares?
I bet you Terry continued to watch it.
But she watched it. She watched all 35 minutes of it. She said, oh, that was a really good step over toe hold. I was like, God, you don't usually watch the matches like this.
Oh, no, no. Well,
and she even bought some Marty Friedman CDs, which I thought was really weird, from CD Warehouse.
Marty Friedman is Japanese, after all, or at least he's married to one. So,
I think he lives there.
He does. Wow, so there you go. There you go.
Got a lot of info out there.
Check out NXT in
Shawn Michaels will be there.
San Antonio, November 17th, the day before NXT TakeOver War Games. That's going to be an interesting show.
It'll be good.
Once again, McIntyre versus Cole over there at NXT should be a barn burner.
In this
sports entertainment journalist view, that should be a bond burner.
Yeah.
So we have those different stories out of the way. Now, another thing we had alluded to, well, let's talk about this, Gender Mania.
So, oh, it's running wild, Al John.
Gender Mania is running wild. You know, SmackDown, believe it or not, has been a pretty decent show.
Especially the gender matches. Which are one stars usually.
Well, it's funny. AJ Styles this past Tuesday comes out and says, Jinder, you're running your mouth, but you've never beaten me. However, they made a glaring mistake because Jinder did beat AJ Styles back in May 16th of 2017. Did you know this?
Yeah, they did that. I think they did that to set up the Orton win, correct? Or the Orton loss.
Yeah.
Orton's loss to Jinder was set up by AJ TV match where he beat AJ on TV, correct?
Yeah.
I'm unfortunately remember that.
it's really sad that they're feeding all these top level guys to Jinder in order for him to keep the title. I think there's a better way to do it, and it's a great way for the Singh brothers to get involved. It's a great way for Jinder to win dirty and not clean over a superstar like Nakamura. Right. You know, you can protect your top talent in a way, and I hate using a Dusty Rhodes type finish on these type shows.
Right.
You know, but Jinder needs to show more of heelish personality in the ring and not necessarily in his quote unquote racist promos.
You're gonna have a racist promo if you have a racist owner.
It's funny. Remember what I was saying about Jinder Mahal? I like, you know, I really enjoyed Jinder, was happy when Jinder won. And I tweeted Brian Alvarez. I think I tweeted Brian Alvarez and I said, when is WWE ever going to stop with the lowest common denominator, anti-alien, foreign sentiment.
Don't forget anti-black with stuff like Prime Time.
Well, yeah, I mean, basically,
quite frankly,
them catering to the lowest common denominator
over and over.
WWE fans are of multi-ethnicities, multi-diversity, socioeconomic backgrounds, whatever the case is. And then I think he tweeted me back, and I have this at P Wrestling Cast is our Twitter. Mm-hmm. And he tweeted me back and said, just listen to the types of heated reactions he's getting. I don't think it's going to stop anytime soon. And I think I mentioned that it's just unfortunate. You know,
it is unfortunate.
I am a Filipino Chinese descent. I watch WWE. I feel like my intelligence is insulted every time they go that route. Because a superstar should be able to get the championship based on their own merits and not have to have race dictate how a storyline should go. I think we should be beyond that. Unless, of course, you know, if the storyline was written well, then maybe I wouldn't have such a problem with it. But it just seems to be such low-hanging fruit for creative to go that route. And I think it's just bad. It's bad form in my opinion.
Terry Funk put it, I thought, really eloquently for the Funker. He said, well, if you have a racist angle, if you have a racist wrestler saying racist stuff, if the racist is pointed out as the bad guy, proven to be wrong, and the good guy wins, then it's kind of okay. But they never do that. They never show that the racist is wrong for what he says. They never have him, you know, Triple H beat Booker T at that weird, what was that, WrestleMania 19?
Right.
You know, stuff like that happened over and over again. I think it's just a mentality of the company. I told you they were going to do something like that with Nakamura. I said it over a year ago. Sure, finally they do it. He holds it against him for not speaking English well. He does, I'm talking about he, Vince, he does not understand why he gets big crowd reactions. As far as why is gender being fed all of these people, I'll tell you why, because as stupid as McMahon is, he uses the old philosophy. This is the overall picture. He doesn't think, well, Tuesday we'll do this, Sunday we'll do this, and Tuesday after we'll do this. He thought about it from year to year. He wanted gender to face John Cena at WrestleMania, the one in 2018. He wanted John Cena to be the first to defeat an undefeated for 10 or 11 month gender. So what do? I got to put Orton to get him over three straight times. I got to have a middle guy, Nakamura. He doesn't understand him, but that's his way of saying, here you go, here's a push. You're in the main event. And then for the winter stuff, he'll do AJ Styles right after this little Brock Lesnar thing, and AJ will put him over clean at Royal Rumble and whatever pay-per-views right before WrestleMania, and this will set up John Cena gender. So what you have to do is feed him Orton, you have to feed him AJ, and you have to feed him Nakamura. Is this stupid? Is it, you know, involve churlish storylines that the poo-loving Vince comes up with? Yes, but he is following basic booking formula. It's just he picked the wrong person. So what you have is gender getting more over, getting better at promos, having almost two-star matches at this point, and shrinking in size, I might add, because he has a shoulder injury, but then they'll say that's not true, but then the guy's shrinking. And, I mean, why is he shrinking? He has to work out 20 hours a day and take all these HRTs. What is it called? You know what I'm talking about.
Allegedly. I don't know.
Allegedly. Allegedly.
Who knows?
I don't want to get in trouble like Dr. whatever the face. But he is smaller. And Vince likes the guy. He wanted to give him, he'll give a greenhorn a shot because, see, Vince is an artist. He's not a booker. Bill Watts is a booker. Dusty Rhodes is a booker. Vince is more like an artist, and his artistry was magical with Pat Patterson. Okay, but now he's older and he's lost his way, quite frankly, and he wants to have this greenhorn just take the mantle of the Indian heel champion and put him over all of his baby faces.
I'll always remember gender as being part of the three-man band.
Right.
And that's okay. I still believe in gender. I just don't like the opponents that he's put in front of him and the way that he's winning. But, you know, maybe they'll believe what we've been saying, you know, the fact that the WWE audience has a short memory. And
maybe.
Obviously, yeah, but of course we're calling it out now that we remember the time in May that gender did beat AJ Styles. And now they're bringing it back up like it never happened.
And he will do two more clean main event jobs to him after that.
Probably so, yes.
Yes.
Well, you called it here on the show. You said the next sacrificial lamb is going to be AJ Styles.
Yeah, and everybody's like, well, no, he's supposed to feud with Lesnar. I'm like, well, there's nobody else for to... But it happened.
Yep.
It's just simple. They don't have any, and you're saying, why them? Well, they don't have anybody else.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially now that they've turned Zayn heel.
Before, yeah, and that's working too for me, you know.
Sure.
I'm glad that that's happening. You know, it is a great thing to see any pairing of a Kevin Owens and a Sami Zayn. That's just great stuff. Good TV. And the promo they cut on Bryan Danielson, Daniel Bryan, was also very good. We're also, before we go into the picks of TLC, this is going to turn out to maybe be a longer show than we thought. Mm-hmm. We will have Daniel Bryan gives zero Fs on the show. So we'll talk about that here in a little bit. We'll put that into the middle of the show as an intermission, if you will.
if you will.
Before we talk about TLC, though, let's talk about the Ring of Honor Global War show with New Japan Pro Wrestling. And, wow, you know, that was a big four-hour show. A lot of good stuff in there. I will say that, you know, I like the... We talked about off air about the Will Ospreay Flip Gordon match. Yeah. I think that people really dig it. I know that you should be able to check that out. Definitely check out. Let's see, what else did I like?
I did see Daryl Takahashi. That's his cat. Takahashi took on the villain. The Bucks match was pretty good. I'm not a big. Oh, you know what? You know what? I'm looking at the card here.
Yeah, it was the Bucks versus Search and Destroy.
Right. Yeah.
Which is also the tag team of the Motor City Machine Guns.
Yeah.
And Gresham and White. And that was good.
Yeah, it was good enough.
Yoshihashi versus Kenny Omega for the IWGP Championship.
I thought it was an underrated match. A lot of people didn't like it. I don't think the crowd understood what they were watching, and I think it was hard for that to be a main event. I think, from what I hear, Omega helped draw the house.
And by the way, that was for the U.S. Championship. The when they initially put the pay-per-view or the tour on, there was no card announced, but I believe they did put Kenny Omega being there, and they sold out quickly. So when you talk about putting butts in seats, Kenny Omega is definitely one to put butts in seats.
Yeah, I mean, and I think a better opponent would have been, you know, just about anybody else. Yoshihashi is pretty low on the New Japan roster. I would say he's maybe number 10 or 11 babyface side. So, like, he's number 22 on their entire roster, maybe 24. You send him over, you send over Takahashi, and let's see, Kushida's there. You know, Kushida, Omega would be title versus title, so you can't do that. But anyway, you know, I guess that's who they decided to send over. But I don't think that was the only thing I didn't really like about it. I love the promo. Daryl, did you hear that Takahashi's cat Daryl just got married to Carol? This just happened over the weekend. So that's exciting.
That's great.
Yeah, they've turned that into much... kind of a pretty good angle on New Japan. The Daryl was ripped apart by Bad Luck Fale of the Bullet Club. He was put back together. It led to a roll-up pinfall win for Bushi, who hasn't had a big win in years. And it's just ridiculous. I love Takahashi, and I love that his cat is getting really over. And I congratulate them on their marriage. You know, the best thing I ever did was get married, and that's what I always tell anything, a person or an inanimate thing, I guess, too. I think it's marriage is strong. Anyway, he won with the chicken wing over Takahashi. Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. That's good.
I have to send you a picture of the wedding.
You can send me a picture of the wedding. Go for it. So I think that everyone should check out that pay-per-view, that iPay-per-view. And when ROH comes to your town, be sure to, catch it, especially when these iPay-per-views happen. You have an opportunity to get, you know, your picture or personal item signed, or you can get a post photo. It's like $20 for a single wrestler, $30 for a tag team. And go ahead before, you know, the stock rises so much that you can't get those autographs for that price, especially for guys like Omega, Young Bucks, Skrull, you know, even Cody. Tanahashi, you know, that those would be great names, you know, especially the New Japan guys. It's not very often that you're able to meet those New Japan guys and get their photos and their merch for that cheap. So good stuff right there.
If you buy Naito's merch, he'll be your friend for a long time. I know that.
He's gonna for be your life. Before we talk TLC for WWE, that is going to be happening on the WWE Network. And by the way, if you're listening to the show, you can subscribe to the WWE Network by clicking our banner there at ProWrestlingCast.com. Let's go ahead and play some interesting Daniel Bryan footage. This is what we like to call Daniel Bryan Gives Zero Fs.
Why is everything a battle here, by the way? Battle Royal, Battleground, what is... Hey, it's better than Great Balls of Fire.
Touche.
Fine.
I don't know if you remember the old SmackDown set, but there used to be a giant fist, and I was like, man, SmackDown is really into fisting.
I'm kind of dumb
right now. Hey, AJ, do you want to talk about how you think the Earth is flat?
Do you want to talk about how your feet are flat?
They are flat. But, like, he legitimately thinks the Earth is flat.
I do not think the world is flat. I'm just saying there's some stuff about it.
He's a flat earther.
He wants
to say that I think slowly.
Okay.
The Earth is a sphere.
Okay.
Axis.
Uh-huh.
Runs on an axis.
Okay. Good. I'm not a flat earther. I'm just saying there's some things about it that make sense. I don't think you can handle it.
Lesnar of being lazy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. What did Brock Lesnar do on Monday? Sit on his couch?
Maybe.
No.
I love the rap battle.
It was even fantastic. Though they didn't,
like, there was lots of, like, innuendo that I didn't think
New
would
Day
be allowed
here. New Day took it to a whole other...
The New Day, the Usos did, too.
They all did.
Bringing up some videotape footage.
WWE Universe, welcome to the Rogue Edition of Smacking Talk. I'm Renee Young. This is General Manager Daniel Bryan.
The very first edition exclusively on Tout.
Thank you, Tout, for supporting us in this endeavor. Somebody's got to do things on your own, you know?
Yep, sometimes you do.
So that being said, please welcome on our very first guest, Chad Gable.
Yeah. All right. Very first guest of Smacking Talk. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay, so first things first, obviously there's been a ton in the news lately about Jason Jordan, your former tag team partner, and his father.
So you're going to ask Kurt about it? Everybody's just asking me about that.
It's big news, man.
No one wants to know anything else. No one wants to know about me. They just want to know about Jason and his new dad, right?
Yeah,
it's
listen.
It gets annoying. Like,
I agree. It's not about Jason Jordan.
Okay.
It's about me and Chad Gable.
Whoa. You're not talking about your tweet. Because I saw your tweet.
Yeah.
Daniel, you're not my dad. Don't, no, so, he couldn't be.
Yeah, I could be. And you know what? In fact, I went and got an official paternity test.
Brilliant!
And I haven't opened it yet. I wanted to wait to share this moment with you.
You know about this?
I'm just here for the moment.
It's brilliant, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought we could share this moment together.
You're 5 years older than me. You're not my dad.
I was a very virile five-year-old.
Were you a virile child as well?
Of course I. Look at me.
Of course
I was.
He's my son.
But that doesn't mean
he's my son. Yeah.
We don't.
It's a real thing.
That's a thing.
Look, we look alike. We both have the amateur wrestling background.
You do? Everybody says that, but that really means different things to a lot of people.
Well, yeah, it does, but let's face it. It's official. You're my son.
Kai, the...
Smacking Talk's got a long way to go.
Up for that last time, it's okay.
Listen, I do. He's right. I have so much work to do.
You're just a new dad. You're figuring it out.
I'm figuring it out, but thank you very much for joining us on this very first.
Look, you're a father of two! Father of two, Daniel Bryan.
I'm a father of two.
This has been Smacking Talk. We'll see you guys next week on Tout.
Congratulations. Too sweet me.
I'm holding the phone.
Too sweet me.
Wait, there we go.
That's if I were to join the Bolt Club, that's what would happen. But I'm not joining the Bolt Club.
Brian Danielson. He's out of his mind. Don't start rumors.
I care about my job, and I come in and I do my best. And you can't hold it against me that I would rather be in the ring wrestling than being the general manager. Because 2001, when you quit, what did you do? You went to TNA and you went to wrestle.
Well, Steven, it looks like WWE TLC is rearing its ugly head yet again.
Yeah.
And when I say rearing its ugly head, I'm talking about Sister Abigail. This is going to be an interesting show.
Oh,
it's
no.
going to be at the Twin Cities, returning to Minneapolis. Big wrestling town, as you know. And it's going to be great, so you want to make sure to check it out. I believe there's still some tickets at the Target Center available left for this Sunday, so you want to make sure you get them if you can.
Bullet Club said they might be giving away tickets.
Oh, good for them.
Yeah.
That's sweet. Let's go ahead and talk about the lineup that's happening as well. So it looks like if we're going to run down the card.
I sent that picture, by the way.
Oh, you did? Okay, good. Oh, thanks. I appreciate that. So the Drew Gulak is going to present a Cruiserweight Champion edition of his PowerPoint presentation during the kickoff. What?
Yeah, okay, great.
What?
Yeah, good.
I don't get
PowerPoint. I don't know. Fire him. I don't know. PowerPoint presentations are real. This guy's a really good wrestler. Just figure something out for him. You got this 205 jive, same old thing, and they just haven't figured out any good angles for any of those guys whatsoever. I guess Enzo has probably the best stuff so far in 205 Live. What do you think of that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think so. I think it's good. I'm glad they have a cohesive storyline. We'll have to see what happens there. But let's go ahead and get this. How about Sasha Banks versus Alicia Fox in the kickoff show?
Yeah, I think that was supposed to be Nia Jax, and I was probably supposed to be in the main show, and I think Alicia is replacing her. Alicia versus Sasha, if they actually let them do a match, could be like 4-star match. Because Alicia can be really stiff, and we all know Sasha doesn't care. But to be honest, since it's a kickoff show, they'll probably say, don't do a lot out there.
Well, it's funny. They actually did do something on Monday Night Raw, and Alicia gave her a very stiff clothesline, and it looked like it almost broke her nose. It started bleeding in the middle of the match, and of course, Sasha wiping the blood from her face continuously through the end of the match, and to the point where blood was wiped across her face, looked like a little bit of a battle paint there, which was great, because
that was good.
Yeah, that was good. So yeah, Alicia, I like this match, but it's fine. It's in the pre-show. Moving on from pre-show to the main show, it seems the Cedric Alexander, Rich Swann versus Gentleman Jack Gallagher and the Brian Kendrick. I think that's still going to be a great match.
They probably won't give him. They probably won't give him enough time. That seems to be the common theme with a lot of these types of matches. They say here's 8 minutes, or they say don't do a lot. Mm-hmm. If you let them, they could go 4 stars, but they'll probably end up 2.5 stars. Just more disappointed. I'm glad Brian Kendrick has work still. I'm kind of surprised he's still with the company. I hate to say that.
Well, the Brian Kendrick has been known to be one of their great LA trainers, and just happens to be training some of the Four Horsewomen MMA candidates. So it looks like the Brian Kendrick is still gainfully employed.
And right.
That's good. That's good for Kendrick, because I think he's probably one of the most underrated wrestlers in the division right now. Mm-hmm. But he's great.
They need him.
Yeah. So we're just running down the card. We're not giving, we're not giving our own personal who goes over yet, because, quite frankly, who cares?
Nobody cares.
Now, we do care about this, Asuka versus Emma.
Okay, I'd say you put Asuka over.
I think so. I would like to think so. I think Emma has rightfully earned her spot.
I will predict this. They will blow this by having Asuka and Emma in a very competitive 8-minute match instead of having her kick her in the tits and squash her like they should. And that's really what she looks good doing. And I just have a bad feeling they're going to let Emma do too much. I've seen them have good matches, but they're not built up correctly. Like, this is not built up like those matches were. This is supposed to be Asuka coming in and looking awesome. Don't screw up Asuka, don't you worry.
Well, we said the same thing about Nakamura, and Nakamura should have come in as a house of fire, just right up against Dolph Ziggler, and they totally screwed that up, and they're screwing up Nakamura on SmackDown, unfortunately.
Everything they've done with Nakamura has been a mistake.
Yep.
Every single thing.
I'm hopeful. I think we all agree Asuka versus Emma is going to be Asuka with a victory. However, let's see if she can't, go over Emma decisively and quickly in 5 minutes or under.
Okay. So
we'll see what happens.
That would be the right thing to do, Alja.
That would be the right thing to do. The Cruiserweight Champion Kalisto versus Enzo Amore. This actually has an interesting build going into it. Enzo Amore, of course, the getting his rubber match against Kalisto, who got the Cruiserweight Championship there on Monday night. And Enzo Amore, no doubt, will probably have his paid thugs there, the evil bad guys of the cruiserweight division that he's paid off.
Yes, with Kalisto. All of his money.
Yep, with all
he
of his...
He bragged about on the bus.
Yeah. Money, 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 exactly. So his merchandise sales, he'll keep on talking about that.
Right.
So, you know...
Hey, that worked out good for him, huh?
Yeah, he's still selling merch, yeah. You know?
I like the guy. I don't like them picking on people like that, but that's what they do. You know, I don't know.
I don't know if Kalisto... It seems like every time they give him an opportunity to talk, he should just not. That's just me. But I think this could be a very decent match. We'll see how Enzo Amore does. I don't... After maybe what could possibly be a short match with the women, if this match goes any longer than 5 minutes, I worry about Enzo Amore because I think he could be exposed for not being the best. But Kalisto, we know, can carry that match for sure. Who do you say wins in this one?
Or should we say re-exposed? I think Enzo wins. I think Kalisto, you know, this is, I predict the crowd will chant, "We want Neville."
Mm-hmm.
Well, I bet you both those things happen for real.
Yeah. Okay. You go for Kalisto, for Enzo. I vote that Kalisto retains.
Yeah. 1¾ stars.
Yeah. So here's a match that is very intriguing. You've got Finn Balor Club. The Demon will be showcasing against Sister Abigail, a.k.a. Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt, this is his first time in drag, apparently. Okay.
Maybe.
So we'll see what happens here. There's been a lot of weird, interesting builds for this. I think that
it's
confusing to some fans. This is going to be their supernatural kind of tie, I guess they're going to do with Bray Wyatt. Just in time for Halloween, no doubt.
Sure.
So...
Well, if I could be blunt, Al John, I would say that, you know, I feel like this is garbage.
Yeah.
I feel like this is garbage.
Why?
You know, I would book Finn Balor against Miss Atlanta Lively. But I don't like, who, by the way, I wanted to thank her. Her and Big Mama helped me out a lot when I was on my suspension when I was in jail. They snuck in a lot of food.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, they're really cool. But, but seriously, this match is garbage. And, you know, Finn Balor, who will be fed to Brock Lesnar soon, you know, I don't know. At least he's getting wins, I guess. I shouldn't be too upset.
Mm.
I literally pray for the Finn Balor. I just really want him to succeed so bad.
I wonder if...
He was very nice to us at the show, wasn't he? He was a very nice young man.
I wonder if Sister Abigail will actually win, kind of further cementing Bray Wyatt as an evil force. I almost feel like that should be the way to go, but it really depends on how they portray the Sister Abigail character. If it's too hokey, then I'm not going to buy into it, and I'll say I want a demon, but I will only say that when I see the match itself. I would tend to go for Bray Wyatt for the win here just because he does need a W, you know?
He's not going to – I don't think he'll get one. I think Balor will win because they, you know, they have to set up him versus Lesnar.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what I think. And it's like, oh, it's you're jobbing as your sister, not as you. That flawed logic.
I get it. Okay. Well, then, you know what? You convinced me. I'm going to revert my – Demon. That's good. I like that. I like your idea.
Yeah. Thank you.
Raw Women's Championship, Bliss versus James. Age over whatever. I don't know. It's horrible how they continually pick on... You know, I look back at the career of Mickie James in WWE, and I say, how can one woman be picked on so many times?
I know. It's disgusting to me. Yeah. By the way, she's my age!
Yeah, right. And Mickey looks great for being a mom. I mean, I know, did I make that a conditional statement for being a mom? But she really does. She takes great care of herself. I think Mickey James is probably in the best shape of her life, you know, in this stage of her career. And I think she looks better now than she did 10 years ago.
You're trying to get me to get in trouble on the show. I'm not going to do it. But yes, Mickey James is a very strong 40-year-old woman
And that's the last person that should be made fun of.
Right. Okay? I like her last promo about Biscuit Butt Alexa Bliss. I thought that was really cool.
And Biscuit what?
my Amazon Echo just went off.
Oh, but, wow. Buying stuff during the show?
James called Bliss a biscuit butt on a promo. I thought that was great.
What does that mean?
I don't know, but I like it.
Okay. Is that something to do with her being short or something, you think?
Probably has to do with her butt. No, I don't know.
But, these girls in there. They give them weird lines and promos. That's all I'm saying.
That's true. I believe that Mickie James will try valiantly as she may. She probably will not be able to overcome Alexa Bliss.
Right. And then the heel was right all along about her being old.
Right.
And that's why their booking sucks. Okay.
Right. Well,
if
would
they
you
go
like
a different way and they put it over a different way, then it's okay.
I would like, as a fan, to see Mickie James win another championship. I think that would be great. And if you look at it from this point of view, if Mickie James does capture the title, that would be a very interesting story to tell as the veteran goes against the young Asuka coming through the ranks and then also becoming the undefeated women's champion for another year. I think that would be a pretty neat trajectory for Asuka in the WWE.
I think Asuka, you can only book her one way, and I always thought that that's why she was supposed to be in NXT forever. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
So who do you say wins?
Alexa Bliss, clean as a sheet, because Mickey's old.
Ugh, it's a shame.
Like a year younger than me old, that is. thanks, WWE.
This Monday night, we saw the return of the Big Red Machine, Kane, coming through the canvas, revealed as one of the Miz Taraj replacements for Bo Dallas. And
that's Kane for you, getting paid off by the Miz. That's his character.
Yep.
That's him for you.
That's it. So you're going to have the Shield versus Braun Strowman, Kane, Miz, and Sheamus and Cesaro in a 5-on-3 TLC match. Mm. So this is the match where, you know, in TLCs in the past, we've had multiple gimmicks, gimmick matches. This time it looks like we have the Demon versus Sister Abigail kind of gimmicky match, but this one's where they actually will have the tables, ladders, and chairs in this kind of train wreck of a matchup with these guys. I think, unfortunately, the Shield is going to come out on top, even though we know that the Shield won't last forever. But
well, I think they're going to book this one right. I'm shocked to say. I like the idea it's the only gimmick match. That's great. Mm-hmm. Brilliant. That's easy. I like the idea that it's 3-on-5 because you're going to put over the Shield strong. You'll probably have Kane take the pin from Roman damn Reigns or Miz get pinned by Reigns, one of the two. They'll put him over strong, setting up bigger and better things. And I think they'll book this one right. And I think the match will be really good, too. Because let's face it, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, a lot of these guys are really good. You know, they are good wrestlers. And with a little bit of gimmickry around it, Roman's always strong in those types of matches. Ambrose is always helped by it, too. And, you know, I like Kane as a human being. So it's nice to see him in a main event. I don't think it makes any sense. But, you know, so be it. I hope they protect Strowman because they've already fed him to Lesnar. But you know, who am I? Who am I, Aljon? Who am I?
Yeah, well, we'll see. I believe the Shield will come out on top, you know. I do like what The Miz has been doing. I like his backstage segments a lot. It's kind of confusing to me that Kane is back.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. Sheamus and Cesaro, you know, they're doing okay. But the Shield, I'm sure, will come out on top because they want to continue to sell merchandise in the fourth quarter. So we'll just leave it at that.
Well, sir.
You know, initially I was going to say we're going to talk about our top five underrated wrestling factions, but we're going to go over time if we do that. So why don't we just table that for another show, Steven? Shall we do that?
Let's table it for another show because, yeah, wow.
We covered
because we're a couple of talkative guys. We like to talk.
We are. So next week we're going to have the TLC aftermath. Maybe we'll talk about some other top fives that we have. I think it's going to be great. But we will leave you with the unforgettable comments of one Cody Rhodes at the Global Wars iPay-per-view event with New Japan and Ring of Honor. I think that will be our promo of the week. That should do it. Steven, thank you so much for joining me on the show.
Let me just say, Ta-Nehisi, I don't care. All right, I love you. All right, and I'll always love you. You are honestly the best wrestler in the world because even injured, you can have a five-star match. It's okay. I'm not upset.
Don't forget, you can follow us at P Wrestling Cast on Twitter, Pro Wrestling Cast on the Facebook. You can also follow me personally if you want to check out all my geeky posts there at Jedi Mouseketeer at JediMouseketeer.com. You can find me on the Instagram too. You can just check it out. And don't forget, our show is also proudly brought to you by not only our friends at Amazon, but MagicalJourneysVacations.com. You know, you and your family are getting ready to maybe book a trip to Universal Studios. Maybe you're looking to book a trip to Disneyland or Disney World or take that cruise. If you do, feel free to click our link there at ProWrestlingCast.com and have my wife Kristen set you up for a great magical vacation. She'll save you money, she'll save you time and aggravation, and that is the most important thing. Save time, money, spend more time with your family, spend more money on your family, saving by booking with my wife Kristen at Magical Journeys Vacations. Do it. Do it now. Subscribe to our show as we're on our iTunes. We're on the Stitcher Radio. Tune in. Give us those five-star reviews. Like us. Subscribe to us. And now we leave you with the comments of one Cody Rhodes for our promo of the week. On behalf of Stephen Anthony, my name is Al John Goh. Until next time, don't forget to tuck your head. We'll see you.
Pro Wrestling Cast. Promo of the week.
Earlier today, this cameraman here, Fritz, he said thank you when he saw me. And little Willie and Gorilla, you know what he said when he saw me? Thank you. And even Ian Riccaboni, where's he up? Ian Riccaboni, what did you say earlier, Ian? What did you say? You said, thank you, Cody.
Yeah. Thank you, Cody.
Really, Cody?
Thank you, Cody.
Yeah, I said thank you.
He called you out there, and you did tell him thank you earlier. You did.
They said thank you because today is the final stop on the Global Wars Tour. And that tour happens to be the most lucrative, the most financially successful tour in the history of Ring of Honor.
He's not lying, DJ.
He never lies, Ian. How dare you call him a liar?
What?
I'm going to go tell him that. Just so you know, I made note of that.
It's hot. I'm sorry. It's hot.
Is it?
It's hot, folks. Oh, but I was filled with joy. I was jubilant. I wanted to see each and every one of you. I wanted to talk to each and every one of you, but there was a tweet earlier today that got under my skin. And I'm sure I am not allowed to say his name, but I will read the tweet. Actually, the most important part is simple. A certain superstar decided to say, hashtag walk over talk. Man, for so long, I thought that tactical vest was just covering up his pot belly. I thought that tactical vest was just covering up failed drug tests. Covering up something much worse. It was covering up envy. Envy. Because this isn't an indie. This is a club. That's right. Each and every one of you were Bullet Club. So now is that time of the night when I'd like to show my gratitude towards you. I have the same thing to say to that certain superstar that I'm going to say now, and it's quite simple. Kiss the ring.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast, or email us at prowrestlingcast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
The opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Fuck, for saying what needed to be said.
This program is powered by Tascam. Tascam's mini studio creator, US 42, is your new personal production and online broadcast studio featuring a professional quality audio interface and a number of unique real-time effects. The mini studio creator delivers everything you need for your podcast or webcast. Find out more at Tascam.com, part of the Gibson family of brands.
Save time and money by booking your next Disney vacation with Kristen of Magical Journeys Travel. Magical Journeys is an official earmarked travel agency and is an authorized Disney vacation planner. Let Kristen help you plan your next Disneyland, Disney World, Disney Cruise Line, or Adventures by Disney vacation. Kristen will work hard to save you money. She'll stay on top of the deals from the time you book until the day you travel. For more information or a free quote, email her, Kristen@MagicalJourneysTravel.com. That's Kristen, K-R-I-S-T-E-N, @MagicalJourneysTravel.com. Magical Journeys, the official travel agency of Sorcerer Radio.